Greetings and welcome back to VaYikra, a special podcast project in which each one of these mini podcasts on the Parshat HaShavua and Sefer VaYikra examines one of the perhaps undiscovered or unique aspects of the parasha. We've been looking at the Korban Ola over the course of the past couple of podcasts, and in the previous one took a look at the Olata Behemah, the cattle, and then the flock, and the focus, the role that they may play. It is conventional, but I don't think that necessarily accurate, to look at the final entry into the first chapter, Olata Of, as being the poor man's Ola. Meaning, if someone cannot afford a nice big ox, or somebody cannot afford a lamb or a goat, so they can afford a bird, and that bird is acceptable, also Ola Reach Nichoach. However, that's not necessarily the case. We do know that the bird serves as a poor man's substitute, for instance, in the Korban Olev Yorei that we'll get to at the end of this parasha, the Korban with the fluctuating value based on the person's assets, or as an example, in the case of a Metzora who cannot afford the full Korban, can bring two birds instead. And that is an option given for dalut, for someone who is at the, shall we say, middle level of poverty. However, there is no such dispensation given here. And in the introduction of the Olata Of, the Torah doesn't say, and if he can't afford that, he can bring this. It just says, Ve'im min ha'of korbano, if you want to bring an Of. There is something else about the Of that sets it off. If you take a look in the second pasuk of our Sefer, the Rabbanei Yisrael Talehem, Adam Kirkiv Mikem Korban Ladunai, Mina Beimam, Mina Makar, Mina Tzon, Takrivet Korbanchem. The grand topic sentence for this entire institution of the Korban Ola involves a Behema, and then gives us a choice of Bakar or Tzon, cattle or the flock. The birds aren't mentioned there. Birds are not, of course, Behemot. They're not mentioned at all. Not only that, but in the case of the Bakar Vatzon, we have explicitly in the case of the Bakar, and by analogy in the case of the Tzon, an institution which begins the process known as Smicha. And Smicha is the kickoff for the entire process of offering, in which the donor puts his hands, or one hand, and puts full energy and leans on the animal, effectively transferring his persona into the animal, and then the animal has shchita, and then from that point on, the Kohanim take over. It substantiates the notion that we've been advancing, that the Korban is effectively a method for the person to connect directly with God, but not directly, but rather through an agent to whom he transfers all of his energy, that agent being part of his, an essential part of his work world. If he's a farmer, then a cat, then the cattle. If he's a shepherd, then the sheep or the goats. There is no such institution, not alluded to in the text, and not in practice in halakha, with the bird. There ain't smicha ba'ofot. Another difference between the other korbanot and the birds is that although the other korbanot have pieces which are not put on the mizbeach, first of all, the animal is flayed and the skin is taken off. Second of all, the dung is removed from the animal when it's washed, but the presentation in the Torah is that everything is offered up, it all goes up to Hashem. There's no explicit mention of the parts that are not put there, or shall we say that they are rejected. As opposed to the Of, with its very small substance and its very few psukim, right away mentions Vishlichet Murato Benotzata. You take out the gullet and you throw it off of the Mizbeach. So immediately there is something there that is rejected. We get a sense that this Korban is not nearly as desired or creates as much of a closeness with God as the other ones do. So let's try to figure out what's going on. In the society that we have now in the desert, and the society that is going to be formed after we conquer and settle the land, we are chiefly farmers, although right now, not yet. We are secondarily or also ranchers, although again, not yet, although we certainly are shepherding our flocks across the desert. But are there any, is there anybody else who's going to be operating within society? So certainly there will be the priestly class whose job is to officiate the korbanot and to teach and to hold the traditions. But they are not the target audience of this passage in Vayikra. They're the target audience starting in chapter 6. That's Torah Tamakrivim. Here we're talking about Torah Tamivim, the laws of those who bring offerings. So what other groups would there be? The answer is that there are those who are removed from the land. There are artisans, there are merchants, there are warriors, and there are travelers. Of these, if you think about it, at least one group comes to mind as a group that would employ birds. Now let's think back to where we are familiar with birds, where we know of birds earlier in Tanakh. And the truth is, there's only one story between the beginning of Tanakh and now, and that is the story of Noach. In the story of Noach, not only does he collect birds onto the Teva, but he utilizes birds in two different fashions afterwards in order to ascertain atmospheric and climactic conditions and whether or not he's ready to have everyone exit the Teva. The first bird that he uses is a raven. What's the purpose of the raven? The raven evidently is picked first because it's a carnivore. Remember that the Teva settled on a mountaintop. And now the question is, how far has the water receded? Building on a safe assumption that as the waters rose, people ran and animals ran for higher ground, you would find carrion on top of the mountains. Dead animals and dead people. And that would be where the raven would immediately find a home and be able to subsist. And so the first thing that Noah wants to do is to find out how much water has receded. Have we gotten to a place that there was some habitation or some people? The second, of course, is the Onah, who's going to be looking for a perch, which means he's looking for vegetation. So the birds and as we know, the birds were used in the ancient world by other kind of travelers, including by sailors, to try to find out what conditions were like ahead, are those sort of scouts. And as such, that may be why this is yet an acceptable korban, because you might have somebody who's not landed, and as a result of that does not have cattle, and does not have sheep or goats as part of their regular life, but might have birds, and would then bring those birds as a korban. The theory I'm suggesting is that the way that the Torah is presenting the korban olah is not that a wealthy person will go out and spend a lot of money on an ox, somebody else will spend some money on a goat, and somebody who's really cheap will go spend money on birds. That these are animals that are part of the person's regular life. And in order to come close, you don't buy something that's foreign to you. You use that which is part of your life, and you bring it close to God as a way of substituting or connecting you to God. The ideal one, of course, is the farmer, and he uses the ox. Secondarily, a rancher, and he uses the animals that he's shepherding. And perhaps on a lower level, and one that clearly is presented as less than desirable, is someone who works with birds. And so you take the bird, but let's be honest, the bird is not going to be able to represent the person. The bird is also very small, in no way is similar to a person. A person is an animal. And also, a bird has, as small as it is, some parts which are immediately rejected from the Mizbeach. And so, the final of the korbanot that are formally called olah is the olah ta'of. This should not be confused with the chatat ta'of, which is brought in those cases where a person cannot afford better animal, allowing him, alleviating his distress of not being able to afford a greater korban by saying you could bring this poor korban, and that is one you're going to go out and purchase. Here we're talking about using the birds that are part of your own life as the olah ta'of, which although less accepted, although not part of the original sentence, nevertheless do fit the bill and are accorded the final coda, Ola Reach Nichoach Lashem. Okay, in the next podcast, we're going to take a look at the grain offering and its role within the context of Korban Olah. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.